Welcome back to the weekly news roundup. These are recorded live Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, if you'd like to catch the show. Of course, we have comments in between, answering questions, and other fun stuff like that going on the show. But, of course, if you just want to catch these edited down live, the edited down ones without the comments in between, that's why we release these separately. Well, guys, today let's go ahead and talk about our news sections. We have privacy, security, business, and Sillyville. We have a few more than I usually like to do in privacy because they're just some of them were too good to not do, but then we cut some of the other sections back a little bit. So let's go ahead and get diving right on into privacy news. First, as far as these Bluetooth trackers, Apple and Google finally agree on a standard to alert people when unknown Bluetooth devices may be tracking them. Of course, what is the glaring error here is that your Bluetooth has to be turned on your device, which is something you should not do. This is one of the great things I love about GrapheneOS, because I sometimes have to use my Bluetooth headset. And then I turn off the headset, put the phone down, and forget to turn Bluetooth off. And then all sorts of Bluetooth beacons are tracking me around as I walk around the place. Well, GrapheneOS has an option that I can set a timeout that if there's not a device connected, it turns it all off for me. Yay! The downside of this, of course, is that now that Apple and Google and all these other companies are producing these devices that are used more for stalking than to finding your keys anyway, but now you have to worry about these things tracking along. The only way you can solve it is by keeping Bluetooth perpetually turned on your device. I think maybe we need to start looking into other methods of discovering these. I believe there was the start of a Raspberry Pi device that you could set up and it would search for these as well. Or maybe we just need to do a giant class action lawsuit naming Apple and Google as jointly and severally liable to provide every American with a standalone device that will determine if they're being stalked thanks to the technology they have decided to foist upon the world. Of course, we should also include Tile in on that, since I think they were actually here before Apple. But they do have now a standard, and all of your major parties have said they're going to jump onto the standard. So all new devices from Google and Apple moving forward will actually follow the standard. Also, Chipleo, that makes me want to go get Chipotle, but Eufy, Geo, Motorola, and Pebblebee have committed that future tags will also be compatible with the new industry standard. And so they're going to continue working with the Internet Engineering Task Force standards for organizing the Internet to detecting unwanted location trackers. See, isn't it so wonderful? We have this great new technology, and immediately it's used for destructive means. Indeed, Thoreau was right that our improved technology gives us improved means to reach our own deteriorating ends, almost like we have a built-in sinful human nature. But we don't want to talk about that on this channel. Car location tracking needs an overhaul. I was about to throw this out because the whole article pretty much focuses on domestic violence and domestic abuse, which is certainly an issue. Now, the stories that they followed here is there is the air tags and things. I actually have one of my short stories is actually about a digital stalker, which wasn't focusing specifically on the air tags, but they did make an appearance in the story. But there are other ways which had more to do with, guess what? Car location tracking. Guys, I'm ahead of the curve. Like, I'm seeing like, who was that? I don't know. Somebody today, I saw a video like, did you see that Amazon Go stores was just thousands of Indians being paid pennies to watch everybody to come and go to a store? Yeah, if you watched my show 3 or 4 weeks ago, we covered it. I'm above the curve on these things. But anyway, what this story covered is the case of a woman whose husband bought the car and paid for it because he had better credit, but she was the one actually making the payments on the car and had possession of the vehicle. And then they separated because he was getting crazy abusive and violent. He was going all P. Diddy on the world. So what happened then is she takes the car and she's trying to live her life, but he has access to everywhere the car is based on the location system, and the location system does not have a way to turn it off. So she cannot turn it off. And so this guy always knows where the car is, even though he is a P. Diddy imitator and trying to beat up his woman. Okay. And so what is going on here is all of these cars are being used in these cases. Now, Tesla actually does, I believe, have a case where they could turn it off. Mercedes, it says they could not. Her husband could follow her whereabouts by tracking the car. A level of access Mercedes representatives reported could not be turned off. But as he was considered the rightful owner of the vehicle because he had a higher credit score and the marriage bought it under his name alone. So she's making the payment. She has possession of the car, but he can stalk her despite he's crazy. And so we see a lot of these different things. And so the question becomes, what's going on? And really the thing that made me leave the article in here was actually down here where it's talking about a car is a chance, a way to start a new. That one wasn't it. It was a really funny one, where it was really talking about some people had no choice, but to stay in their cars for their own safety. It's like, well, or we just choose to live in vans, you know? I mean, my van fortunately doesn't have any connections back to the company that made it, which is kind of a benefit of buying a commercial vehicle if you can. There's no tiebacks in the system to it because that would be an extra feature, and what company wants to pay for that? All right. But anyway, what they're talking about here is that the people that were forced to get into the situation where you have to get in your car and leave, you can't actually get away from it, which is kind of brings up some interesting things because we had a lot of DV in our house as well. And I remember this, a couple times, but one time in particular, my mother's husband was getting all crazy and nuts. And so we jumped in the car and drove to one of her friend's house and, slept on the couch over there that night. Well, if this technology is available, her husband would know exactly where we were. And he was a crazy guy with guns who ended up eventually himself. And so, yeah, I mean, we all could have been the statistic if, the technology was out there back in the 90s when that was going down. So it is very important that we have the ability to tell a car company, you may not collect any data at all about this. The entirety of vehicle data collection has to be 100% opt-in. And if they do not honor your opt-in, they need to pay you the full value of the car and you still get to keep it. That's how hard this has to be. Like, you're losing all of your profit and all of everything else went into making that car if you fail to do that. That is how harsh we need to make this because that data is deeply, deeply personal and private data. So let me know what you think about that. This is a fun one. If you have an iPhone and you were forced to upgrade to 17.5 to fix the several in-the-wild zero-day vulnerabilities that were going around, you might have discovered that some of your old deleted photos have come back from the grave. So this could be on the more tinfoil-y level. This could actually be a situation where the phone really has all that data and everyone can still find it. And it's just hidden from you. Like social media, you delete a post, it's still there. You just can't see it anymore. Other people can, whatever else. On the tinfoil hat time, that's really the case. Probably it more has to do with when you delete a file, it just gets rid of the header. Unless you're doing like a bleach bit with overwriting the data, that's how you have to permanently delete something. So if you're not doing that, you're just deleting the header file, the file can come back. Well, an update might just bring back all of those file headers. So that might be what is probably going on here. So it's kind of interesting, but we don't know for sure, but it's a little tinfoil-y and a little bad that photos that you have intended to delete are coming back from the grave. And on to our last story of the day. This is really exciting. How would you like it if your Android phone just starts real-time screening your calls? I mean, it's for a really good cause, though, guys. It's to make sure you're not getting scammed. So they want to release Gemini AI Nano, so a scaled-down version of their Gemini AI, onto your Android phone to listen to your phone conversations in real time to alert you if the person is over there trying to scam you. Now, I'm wondering, is it going to beep at you a lot? Because it's like, it'll give you a thing on your screen that says, this is a potential scam call. You know, they're trying to ask for gift cards or banking information passwords over the phone. Okay, if you are stupid enough to fall for that, maybe you need your account compromised. But those of us that actually have functioning brain cells rubbing together with synapses, we know that if the bank calls you or somebody calls you and it's like, we're the IRS, you have to pay us in Amazon gift cards. No. So that's what they're doing. So, but who's staring at your phone while you're having a phone call? I mean, I guess if you're on the, if you're the people that were at the restaurant today, I went into the little place to do some writing in my short story, and the people in the table next to me were having a speakerphone or FaceTime or some conversation with their daughter while they're having lunch at this place. It's like, really, guys? Really? All right. Well, I guess in that case, if it's a phone call, yeah, you could probably see that. Presumably it's FaceTime because I think they were looking at each other as well. So anyway, that's what they're doing. Now, as soon as this comes out and the Google's like, this is great. It's going to have AI looking for patterns of this. And all the privacy guys are going, yeah, but this just starts the on-process scanning, just like the old CSAM scanning, which was considered a kind of bad technology. But this is just yet another way to get active, even if it's on-device screening. That on-device screening doesn't stay on-device for long, trust me. So what happens if a dissident starts talking? Are you going to get flagged by this? So we see a lot of interesting elements here. They're trying to cram this into people. And with this being crammed on you, your phone conversations themselves, the actual data now, could be sent out to servers. If not, you know, even if they're saying it's all done locally on the device, how many times have we heard it's all done locally, but it's, you know, still the people over in India have access to that data because they're analyzing it to train the AI, or, you know, just catalog it by hand because that's probably cheaper than the AI at this point in time. See the Amazon Go stores from earlier. So the problem we have with this is that with this type of technology, even if the capability's there and it's good, it still has the simple ability to simply toggle the algorithm for something else later because the backbone technology is still the same. So this is a huge problem. Now, as of now, they're saying when this was just information was just released at their latest tech show, and the what ended up happening, they just said that it's specifically opt-in at this point in time. So, of course, that just means some people will test it out. But then it's like, how long? Like, this really saved tons of scammer people, and so we're going to turn it on by everybody. You can turn it off later, you know, if you know how or you know the features there to turn off. But, you know, call me crazy. I just don't want Google's AI to be listening to everything that is going on in my phone calls to determine the best course of action. That's kind of just me, but let me know what you guys think. And while you think about that, we're going to jump on over to security news next. So first up, scammers can now easily phish your multi-factor authentication codes. Well, I thought that this is how to keep your account secure. They're actually doing a new thing called the, they're calling it the authentication in the middle attack, of course, named after the man in the middle attack. So the man in the middle attack is where you'd have two servers and somebody can intersect themselves in the middle and collect the data as it's going through. Now, this is why Tor works, because there's too many server changes for somebody to be able to interject. And then the entry and the exit nodes are blind to who each one of those happens to be. And so the way that the Tor networks work is you go into the system, into the Tor system on an entry node, and then the entry node encrypts its traffic to an intermediary node. The intermediary node encrypts its traffic to an exit node, and the exit node encrypts its traffic back down to the end server. And so there, well, sounds like three intersections, but there's actually a lot more that can go on. There would have to be five different places to where you could, in theory, intersect. act. But the problem is each one of these jumps through jurisdictions. They rotate regularly. And so what ends up happening is that your system becomes effectively untraceable unless somebody can get the entry node and the exit node. And in addition to the entry node and the exit node, they can also get the exact listing of anybody and everybody that is on every node simultaneously. And most of the protocols used to access Tor make every single computer look like the same exact user. And so it really, it takes huge resources that the NSA is like, yeah, we kind of developed it, but we can't crack it. So that's how that works. You can't get in the middle. So what they're doing here is using regular websites. They are using a phishing site where their phishing site is a wrapper around an authentic site. And the authentic site is actually passing the data. So you land on the phishing site, you have to log in. What happens is the system, the phishing site goes over and makes the call request, sends that back to you. You get the actual code, you enter the code, and then now you're trying to get through, they're capturing that information. And so as they're capturing that information, now what they're doing is they are, they're able to take this and then get into the account and then change things around because the account is like, oh, this guy just authenticated, so everything must be good. Now they're getting in there and they're making a lot of changes into your account. They might be locking you out. So it's just a way to get around that multi-factor authentication. So now this sounds like the way they're explaining it all sounds like it would work best for like text message 2FA. I'm not sure if it would work as well with like a YubiKey type 2FA. I think the YubiKey 2FA might just fail. But I don't know for sure. Now, they do say that if you're using a passkey system, that is generally immune to this type of attack. So if you are using passkeys, for now, you're safe on this method. But don't worry, when everybody's using passkeys, it's not like we have reached the utopia of total computer security. Oh, no, they'll crack passkeys sooner than you think. So I'd just rather stick with the YubiKeys and make things as inconvenient for people as possible. You know, so that's kind of what our goal is there. And on to our last article is YouTube is becoming a cyber criminal gateway for human manipulation. Yeah, YouTube is slowly morphing itself into that nonsense platform of nothing but robots and AI. So it boils down to a couple different things. Obviously, with a lot of generation of AI, you're seeing a lot of channels pop up now, which are just AI-generated scripts with AI-generated voices with AI-generated video content. And it's just filling it. Just the same thing that's going on with Google searches, with websites, with SEO scams and all that kind of crap. We're getting that now on YouTube. But even worse is some legitimate creators are getting fished out by people to do collaborations. And I can understand because I get about 4 or 5 of these every single day. It'd actually be maybe a fun video sometime to go through all of these things. I'll collect them for a week and we'll look at each one of these. It would actually probably be a funny show and a great show because, frankly, some are like, hey, we want to get you some TikTok videos. Have you watched my videos? Tell people to stay as far away from TikTok as humanly possible. So legitimate creators are now, because they're getting paid a few bucks, they're getting paid a few bucks to host sites which are actually phishing websites. So that's really what's happening because people are jumping on this specifically for the money. They're not as discerning about what the criminals are doing. That's where at least my channel, I'm into this stuff, so I know what's going on a little bit more frequently. So I get a lot of these offers and a lot of them are scams. And then you'd get these scams, you'd get the information out, and then all that just ends up happening is it's just like, you get bombarded with it, and then you have either legitimate channels pushing phishing websites in their descriptions, posing as sponsors or affiliates, or you just get AI things just doing the whole thing just automatically. So both of those are certainly options that that we can consider. With that, guys, if you want to help support the channel, we do have affiliates. Today we're highlighting Pro Writing Aid. This is going to give you 20% off the premium or the premium pro on a yearly or a lifetime subscription. And monthly does not get you any specific discount, but it does still help out the channel. TLM.li/PWA. Pro Writing Aid is a, it does use some AI-based tools as well, but it also just uses a lot of base training, kind of like a Grammarly alternative. It's going to help you format your text right. You can get in there and you can specify what type of writing this is so that you can choose the type of editing blocks that you're doing, and then you can use it to refine your writing. So I use this before I release my books and short stories. So this is certainly a great application, great deal. In fact, a friend of mine just finished doing his a new draft for one of his new books, and I turned him on to this. He absolutely loves it. So TLM.li/PWA, excellent place to get some privacy-focused grammar help. So with that, let's have a look over at business news next. First up in business news, Netflix wants to be the latest to create an ad server, of course, with a lot of people utilizing Netflix. And then you have guys like Roku injecting ads on any pause screen. Where are they getting their ads from? Well, I don't know. They might get them from Netflix. They'll get them from Google. They might get them from other places as well. But now Netflix wants to create its own ad system, which is probably, hey, more competition is probably better. So that's okay. But just be aware that we might see a greater push for ads on Netflix systems, because if they are experimenting with this, hey, they're going to want to throw it all over the place. So just be aware that we are going to start seeing a little bit more of that down the road. And the big three carriers pay $10 million each to settle claims of false unlimited advertising. This is the second tap on the wrist that they've gotten this week. They had to pay $200 million combined, all of them combined, $200 million in fines for their nonsense last week. I even forget which that one was at this point in time. Oh, that was sharing everybody's location data. Yeah, to completely share everybody's real-time location data within 5 minutes, within like 10 yards or something, $200 combined total, which, by the way, is probably less than Verizon alone makes in State College area in 1 month. So we're talking such a small slap on the wrist, you may as well just call it a burger and fries. Well, now they're getting charged $10 million for false unlimited advertisements, because, of course, they come out and talk about unlimited service. And then you read the fine print and you only get 30 gigabytes. And then after the 30 gigabytes, then it throttles itself way back down to like 3G speeds that you can't even check your email on. And people didn't really know that. And then there were some issues about, is the phone you're getting really free? So this is, by the way, another combined total of a $10 million wrist slap. This is the amount of money these guys make in a minute. Most likely a minute. You've charged them a minute worth of fees, combined total. T-Mobile, Verizon, AT&T will pay a combined $10.2 million to settle with all of the states except Florida. And in this agreement, they're going to pay $4.1 million to, T-Mobile and Verizon each $4.1 million and AT&T $2 million to settle their issues about it. Of course, it also deals with Cricket for AT&T and TracFone for Verizon. What they are saying is that they made false promises of free phones and unlimited data plans. They were simply untrue. Big companies are not excused from following the law. Of course, what are they going to do? And you're not going to see any of that money. They're paying it to the state. And then, of course, you're still going to have this expensive phone and the big expensive bill, which is not actually unlimited. But these are, and these, by the way, are the requirements that Letitia James, yes, I know it's Letitia James, but just look at the way she spells that name. And she's a crazy psycho anyway. So this is literally what their requirements are. Unlimited mobile data plans can only be marketed if there are no limits on the quantity of data used. Here's the problem. They are already in compliance with this. You can use all of the data you want. It's just 30 gigabytes of it is fast, and all the data you want is dial up on your 24 baud modem. That's the problem. So her first point doesn't even solve the problem. They were doing this. They don't have to change anything. This is a power play to make the people think that they're actually doing something. So, Letitia James, pull your head up out of your butt and go back to the drawing board and make these companies actually do something if you're serious. Otherwise, take him out to a steak dinner and say, thank you for screwing the American people over. I will look forward to seeing you again for another steak dinner tomorrow. I mean, literally. That first one, unlimited modal data plans can only be marketed if there are no limits on the quantity. It doesn't say the quality of the data. It says the quantity of the data used. There's never been a limitation on the quantity. It's just the quality. Number two, offers to pay consumers to switch to a different wireless carrier must clearly disclose how much the customer will be paid, how the customers will be paid, and when the customers can expect the payment, and any additional requirements that consumers must meet. I can understand this one, too, because when I had got my first van internet through Verizon, they's like, hey, if you add an extra phone and hold it for a year, we'll give you a $200 account credit. I never got my $200 account credit, but I wasn't going to bother pushing back. So basically he got me that, but I just wanted a spare phone anyway, but I decided I really didn't need it, especially now my phones now support Wi-Fi calling. So I have the internet on the phone and I have the internet on the van. So I'll always have signal with one of them. But otherwise, I can't otherwise comment. Offers of free wireless devices must clearly state everything a customer must do to receive the free device and service. Again, I don't know about that because I haven't gotten any device from any carrier in years. So I don't know how well that's applied. Offers to lease wireless devices must be clearly state that the customer will be entering into a lease agreement. I've generally thought that has been stated, but I don't know. And all savings claims must have a reasonable basis that they claim that the consumers will save using the service compared to other wireless carriers. The claim must be based on similar goods or services differences. So, of course, Mint Mobile, which is an affiliate we use, tlm.li/mm, that does save a lot of money. With Verizon, I was paying $80 a month for cell phones. Now I pay $180 a year for the same data plan. It's actually more data now, just the way things move. But when the time I switched over, it was the same data plan and I was paying fractions less. And an insulin pump software bug has injured over 200 people. There's the problem with connecting software to medical devices, especially in our modern era of DEI over honest evaluation and quality control testing. So what happened here is there is an insulin pump which has the software which controls the pump. And what happened is they pushed out a new version of the software, and the new version of software had a bug that kept on terminating the initiation cycle, which would crash the app, relaunch the app, and then the platform would kick Bluetooth back on again on the pump to reconnect it, which took more power to do. And so what would happen is the pumps were running out of battery significantly faster than they were supposed to run out of battery because the app kept on crashing and kept on restoring itself and then kept on making a Bluetooth connection, and it caused all these pumps to simply stop working. And while people thought their pump was working fine, it had actually run out of battery power. And so the pump stopped working. And when the pump stopped working, it's bad if a diabetic's pump stops working. Okay. And these are particularly applied to type 1 diabetics. We're not talking like type 2. We're talking type 1. Their bodies just do not make the insulin at all. We're not talking about insulin sensitivities here. So this is definitely a warning to that. They did issue the largest class recall. So if you or anyone you know is using one of these insulin pumps that connects to an app, make sure that they look into this issue immediately. This is a serious, serious bug. So just be aware of that. So pass along that information to anybody as it might be had, and be wary about any devices that are trying to use phone apps to control the device. And with that, guys, we're going to jump right on over into Sillyville with a few fun articles. First, of course, this Ford owner lets his massive F-450 drive itself at 80 miles an hour while he sleeps in the back seat. Hey, at least they had somebody in the passenger seat filming this. Now, you can get, of course, all of my links are in the show notes. This is a channel release, this video. So it's actually really worth going and watching this this video. His analysis is also great. But here's actually the video clip. Now, what he's explaining in here is the F. So Ford has, it doesn't have full self-driving, but it does have level two. But level two is not available in the F-450. He did this with nothing more than cruise control and lane assist. That is it. Or lane maintain, I guess it is. So here's a guy sitting in the passenger seat while the alleged driver of the truck has put this vehicle into this. And it's also worth noting that the guy who did this video knows a lot more about cars than I have, than I do. He's like, this Ford F-450 is so big, it's like a semi hitting these little cars. This guy here, for putting this on the internet, we need to find this guy. We need to take away his driver's license from him and probably send him to jail for a little bit, or at least give him pretty hefty fines, because you shouldn't be screwing around on an interstate like this. You want to screw around on some private course somewhere and do that? Fine. Don't be driving down an interstate with this nonsense going on. And this is why I really cannot stand a lot of these modern technologies that's trying to be like full self-driving, and we find out that they're not, when the thing bursts into a fireball as it slams in the back of some poor emergency vehicle. Well, he's just trying to handle something going on the road. But, you know, the EVs are going to be pushed. Excellent, excellent video from a guy called Cash Jordan. I think it was yesterday when I'm recording this, talking about EVs in New York City. So he does a lot of the social decay around New York City. And he talked about some serious problems with New York City and then reminded us that New York City wants to be 100% EV in 2 years. What deluded idiots over there. But with all these EVs, they just don't rev quite as well. So the Mercedes new G-Wagon is all electric, but you know you love the sound of that engine revving. So they put a fake V8 sound speaker under the hood.
It actually makes like a V8 noise. It's called G-Roar, and it's a signature sound. So if I put my foot down a bit, so the power is instant. Listen to that.
It's super light.
The power is very instant, but it's not shocking.
But he hits the gas.
It's like this car is super broad.
And
rather than particularly,
there's no engine noise. There's no revving. There's no burning of the fossil fuels. No. And so they put a speaker under the hood.
And I usually don't like noises in electric cars.
Yeah. So that's stupid. Although I think I just did Beavis, not Butthead. Sorry, it's been like 50 years since I've seen that. Yes, I'm exaggerating a little bit. All right, well, if you guys remember the portal that they were trying to do between Dublin and New York, the portal to pass along information, the portal of generations. It took one day to get it shut down when an OnlyFans model went up there and decided to start dangling them portal potatoes all over the place. Hey, look at these portal potatoes. Woohoo, they wag in the wind. And all of a sudden, they shut that guy down pretty hard. So there you have it, guys. Of course, I believe it was the person on the New York side because, you know, over there in Dublin, they're a civilized society. Over here in New York, that ain't civilized. I mean, just remember, guys, do you guys remember that little friendly robot from Canada? We're going back a decade now, right? They made this little friendly hitchhiking robot. This robot, it left Canada, which is really nice. It went from Vancouver all the way across to Canada, and then it flew across the country. It toured through Europe. People were taking its picture everywhere. It had its own Facebook page. It's going around for like almost a year, right? It lands in the United States, ends up in Philadelphia, and in 18 hours is mugged and decapitated because that's how civilized American cities are. So, of course, it's the New York side where the portal potatoes were displayed in full view to everybody walking down the street in Dublin. And, well, that was the end of that portal. So, I think this was the Irish woman twerking. So, you know, there's, yeah. So there you have it, guys. There you have it. Who thought attaching perpetually active live streaming between two cities wouldn't turn into this? This is like when New York City, right? Remember when New York City's like, hey, guys, take pictures of people violating the Koofy mandates and how many cucumbers they got that time. it was probably just a hidden ploy by the governor at that time, whose wife was wearing a Mambla mask to figure out, how many citizens' eggplants can we get in my inbox? All right, guys, enough of that. If you want to help support the channel, because, you know, after this kind of content, I'm never working again. You can support me over there on Subscribestar, Subscribestar.com/switched to Linux. You can jump on over there, or you can jump on over to Locals at switchtolinux.locals.com. So you can jump on over and see all of that going on over there. With that, guys, thank you for watching, and I hope that you enjoy switching to Linux.